Welcome to the May 16th, 2018, Your LivingBrand.live show. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday. It is 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to be another great day. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Now, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, what do? We consult, we do workshops, and we do keynotes on brand, message, market, vision, and value. What does that mean? Well, we want to be your storyteller. We want to tell people effectively what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and why they should care. It's about telling people why you're unique, why you're different, why you're not a commodity, what makes you special in your industry, what are the little things that you do that help your clients solve particular problems that they have. And that's what this show is all about. Every week, we interview another guest, and that guest comes to us to tell us about what makes their business different, what makes them unique, what makes them special to their particular audience. Because we all have an audience, and it may be big and it may be small, but it's ours. And those are the people that are loyal. Those are the people that want to do business with us, and those are the people who want to tell our story. So let's get into the story. This week, we have Jamal Khan from the Jamal Khan Financial Group. Now, Jamal has been in the financial planning business for a number of years. And what he does is he specializes in helping people get the most out of the money they're already making for the company. And you know what? I'm going to let him tell the story. Sit back, enjoy, and I'll be back after
Jamal, it is a pleasure having you on the show today. How you doing?
It's an absolute pleasure, Ben. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Hey, you know, I'm glad we were finally able to do this. We've been talking about this for so long, you know, that I've always wanted to have you on the show. So it's great finally having you here. So for people that don't know about the show, because, you know, believe it or not, of 8 billion people, there might be one or two people that don't know about this show. This show is all about what makes companies unique, what makes them different. You know, why should people care about you? Why should people, you know, do business with you instead of somebody else? So it's all about your story. It's what differentiates you. So tell me your story, Jamal. Tell me, you know where the company is, where you're going. Tell me about who your customers are and why do they love you?
Sure. Yeah. You know, if you had asked me that question 15 years ago, Ben, I never thought I'd be in financial services whatsoever. you know, like a lot of people in life, they start off in one direction, thinking that they're going to go somewhere, and life throws you some curveballs sometimes, and you know, things change, and you go somewhere else. So, you know, originally when I was in college, I thought I was going to be a university professor, and you know, teach at a university. And my undergrad degree was in history and political science.
Oh, and we're both poli-sci majors. There we go.
Oh, there we go. Yay, poli-sci. So I was on that track. You know, I did my undergraduate degree here in Vancouver at one of the local universities, Simon Fraser. And then I went off to graduate school. I did my master's degree at the University of Toronto. And, you know, to make a long story short, I didn't like it whatsoever.
Right.
And I came back to Vancouver in the beginning of 2008, and I was looking for a job. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of employment opportunities for a guy who had a master's degree in history, surprisingly.
Well, there wasn't a lot of job opportunities in 2008 for anybody. I mean, let's face it, that was a pretty scary year to be looking for a job.
It was. And by a random chance, I ended up having, in around February of 2008, a cup of coffee with a pretty successful, you know, financial advisor in the Lower Mainland in Metro Vancouver. And within 10 minutes, he made such a strong impression on me that I decided to scrap my application for MBA school, for business school, and decided to work with him. And little did I know that 6 months later, we'd be in a huge financial crisis / recession. So looking back, I probably got into the financial services industry at one of the worst times possible.
Yeah.
But it also served me as an asset later on in my career, because I saw a lot of the human emotions that come out, specifically, you know, fear and greed early on in my career, and how that can really impact investors and make people behave in somewhat irrational ways.
Yeah.
You know, we've all heard the saying, buy low, sell high. And in 2008, the exact opposite was happening, right? People were selling low and, you know,
they bought high.
So they bought high. You look at the markets today, you know, a lot of people have put in money at all-time highs. So, you know, my story basically, you know, I started with him in 2008 and I worked with him for about a year and a half. And I ended up leaving him after about a year and I went to one of the largest life insurance companies in Canada and I worked for them. And they very quickly moved me into a management role. And, you know, I seized the opportunity. I was the youngest manager in BC at the time. Wow. And I did really well there. Yeah, I worked hard and did well. But, you know, as I began to spend more time in the industry, specifically on the management side, I started to notice some of the almost inevitable conflicts of interest that arise within the industry, specifically when you're working with a firm, whether it's a bank or a credit union or a life insurance company, where the suite of products and services they have is limited to that one company that you're representing.
Right.
And what happens is the tools that you have in your toolbox to help, you know, maximize wealth and save people tax and help them with a business succession or estate plan becomes limited. You're limited to the tools by the financial services institution that you represent.
Right.
And I didn't really think that that was creating long-term value for my client. I didn't really think I was doing what was in the best interest of the consumer. And I didn't think from a business perspective that that was something that was scalable. If I'm only providing a limited amount of value because I just don't have the tools,
right?
You know, how can I get to the next step of my business if I'm only providing this much value versus this much value?
Sure.
And so I decided to leave and I went on the independent side and I did really well there. And, you know, just by a fluke of nature, I started getting calls from different financial advisors that I had networked with over the last, you know, 3 years. And I guess I had made a lasting impression on a few people because they said that we want to work with you and help you build out something.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it was a good problem to have. So I started, you know, on the independent side in 2011. I started by myself. Mm-hmm. And by January 2015, there was a group of 140 of us, seven managers, four admin staff. And we were doing quite well. And wow. one of the largest credit unions in Quebec at that time basically said, well, we'd like to, you know, partner up. We'd like to acquire you. We'd like to, you know, take the agency that you've built and, you know, put on our branding and our marketing and run with it. And sure. That was good for the first couple of years. It worked well. And then again, as I started to attend, you know, national meetings with some of the higher level executives in the company and started to really see how advisors were compensated and how they were incentivized. It didn't really make sense to me. You know, right. The, you know, products that were not necessarily in the best interest of the client were incentivized in a way where, you know, a lot of the companies or the company I was representing at the time, they were really playing to the greed factor of advisors.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think that that made sense at the end of the day. I was looking more for a win-win ongoing relationship with clients for both parties benefit.
Absolutely.
As a byproduct of creating value. So I basically launched Jamal Khan Financial Group and went totally independent. And the whole model is collaboration with an existing client's financial team that they already may have in place. So we work a lot with clients, existing accountants, legal teams, their banking teams, and any of the financial planning, estate planning that we do. We like to have those advisory professionals at the table so they understand what the discussions are, what the long-term objectives are.
Sure.
When it comes to an actual financial plan, how the financial plan is one piece of a more larger holistic plan. Yeah.
So it's more of a team approach.
It's more of a team approach. And I think that's good for a few reasons. It inevitably gets rid of conflicts of interest because you have multiple layers of due diligence from an accountant, a banker, sometimes a business consultant is at those meetings as well. Mm-hmm. And you ensure that you get good ideas from everyone at the table. And I think that you know, that's important because too many advisors, you know, in the industry, advisors, they act in silos, and that's usually never in the best interest of the consumer. So, you know, our business today is tailored really to individuals that are, you know, 40 years of age plus. They're small business, less than 100 employees, and they have what we call, you know, good money problems. So they have money sitting in, you know, in their business or in their holding company. And, you know, your audience is worldwide, but up here in Canada, you know, you get taxed 50 cents on the dollar for any passive income that you have coming in from
interest-bearing.
Yeah, you know, there you go. Right. And a lot of other people feel your pain as well. So, so we can create immediate value for people by sheltering a lot of the assets, eliminating that tax and helping them take some of the money out of their company without having to pull a dividend or draw a salary, which is basically a second layer of tax. And that's why we work so closely with, you know, accountants and bankers and business consultants, because we want them to see how this, you know, adds value. And we want them to have, at the end of the day, a thumbs up when they, when they're at the table to say to, you know, Mr. or Mrs. client or business owner, yeah, this makes a lot of sense.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's a little bit about what we do. And, you know, it's an area where, not a lot has been done. There's not a lot, you know, most of the industry focuses on the investment side of the business.
Right.
And we do less of that. And we focus more on the tax and estate planning side, because from our perspective, you know, if we can save a client 50% in tax, or if we can help them extract money out of their company tax,
that's money in your pocket. I mean,
that's money in your pocket right away, right? If you're saving 50% tax, you know, that's probably going to be better than any, you know, 5 to 10%.
I was about to say better than the 5% or 8% I can get on a return on an investment. I'd rather make 50% of my money than 5 or 10%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the other great thing is, besides the actual planning work we do, is the relationships that we make with our clients and, you know, other advisory professionals. We're really big on lifelong relationships based on ongoing education for our clients. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't believe in high pressure sales or any of that kind of stuff. We believe in identifying, you know, a problem that they might have and how we can create hopefully a solution for that. And we go through that process by ongoing education, because their needs will change. And we really want to be there for our clients, not just today, not just tomorrow, but over the next 10 to 15 years or even longer. So,
because money, I mean, money is a very personal relationship, whether it's between a corporation or personal. I mean, when you're dealing with somebody's money and you're dealing with somebody's future and you're dealing with somebody's legacy, there's a lot of hopes, desires, and fears built into that. And it's not just moving money from one place to another. It's sitting there going, what are your goals? You know, what are your objectives? You know, what's important to you? You know, some people, it's all about legacy. Other people, they could care less. You know, their attitude is, hey, listen, I made it. It's my money. My kids can fend for themselves. But it's understanding what is important to these people and helping them achieve those goals. And I think by creating more of a collaborative approach, you're able to give them a more holistic solution. And I think that that's where the real value is from what I'm hearing.
I would agree 100%. And a lot of our process when we sit down with a client starts around the emotional mind, right? I mean, logically, we all know that we should save some money. We should get, you know, the beauty of compound interest to work with us and for us. And basically,
at 1.75%.
Yeah, at 1.75%. Well, we can hopefully do a little bit better than that.
I hope so.
But, you know, our process really starts with the emotional mind. And you know, you hit the nail right on the head. It really starts with getting clarity on, you know, what do you want long term. And sometimes clients, you know, they're so busy, you know, before we started this talk, you and I were chatting about how we're so inundated now with, you know, messages on email and YouTube and text messages. And
bombarded.
And bombarded, you know, daily. So I think it's really taking a step back from all the stuff that's going on, all the things a business owner and entrepreneur has to deal with, and thinking, you know, what do I actually want out of life, and how does my financial plan serve as a tool to help me achieve my long-term goals? Because money is just a tool at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we start off with individuals, and that's kind of where the process starts, as, you know, ongoing education and relationship building, where we can develop that trust, and they see us as a value add advisor, where they're able to open up about some of the, you know, emotional, you know, challenges that they might be having financially or in other areas. And, you know, at the end of that process is once we've defined, you know, those goals and those objectives, then we start looking on the planning side. So,
right.
You know, we obviously for our clients want to always maximize their wealth, keep it together as long as possible. But you know, that's an ongoing process. So yeah, I can't agree with you more. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you, I started my business or at least my career in this particular business in 2008. So, you know, you understand what the low looked like, when the bottom fell out, when enormous corporations went out of business, when, you know, when government stepped in and had to, you know, give billions of dollars to keep industries afloat. You know, you understand that and the fear that caused people and the anxiety, and, you know, having that in the back of your mind allows you to help people plan with, you know, a little bit more of a conservative attitude in mind. It says, you know, not the fact that, oh, you know, the Dow just keeps going up. It's going to keep going up forever. Well, we all know that, you know, that financial markets go in circles.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that you've been there and you've seen the bottom and you've seen it come up again, and you can look at those trends and be able to sit there and say, you know what, maybe now's the time we take a little bit of that put it in cash. You know, and be able to sit there and say, you know what, we may not time the market, and we probably will never time the market, but at least we have some cash put aside, so if some investments do come about, there's something that we can jump back into. So it's allowing your customers to plan long term, because as we get older, and you know, I'm getting there, I'm the 40 plus guy as well, you know, we get more conservative with our investments, you know, and we're starting to look towards, okay, we've got another 20 years, you know, till retirement, you know, and with that, now is the time we need to be able to maximize money. So when we get to that 65, 68, 70 years old, whatever it is, you know, we don't have to care. You know, it's, you know, there's not a panic. There's a, you know, if we want to go away for three months to Hawaii, the money's there
and
you
don't have
to think about it. So it's, understanding those long-term goals and helping your clients with that, I'm sure the last, you know, decade, you know, seeing the highs and lows gives you a better empathy for your clients.
It gives me a better empathy, and you raise a great point. I mean, you know, really what you mentioned really goes back to the emotional mind. So, yeah. You know, going through the last 10 years and seeing the fear and the lows of 2008, you really see people do irrational things, right? Where, you know, unfortunately, because they don't have somebody that has created an ongoing relationship with them and can counsel them and can really help the emotional mind more than the rational or logical mind, they make poor decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And you see it again today over the last, you know, little while, where it's not so much fear like it is in 2008. It's greed of missing out or fear of missing out, because the market has just continued to go on up and up and up. Now, right. We know in any type of a market, there's buyers and there's sellers, right? And
yeah.
We sometimes forget that when, you know, we see, you know, on CNBC every day or we see on Google every day that, you know, the Dow has gone up another 100 points or the S&P has gone up another 100 points. And our emotions take over a fear of missing out, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, my job really more than anything, I think, is that financial concierge, that financial counselor that can get those emotions of fear and greed in check. Mm-hmm. So you're not making short-term decisions that can cost you on your long-term goals of, you know, the 3 months in Hawaii or the retirement. Because things like that, unfortunately, happen all the time. I've heard so many horror stories. I'm sure as you have as well.
Absolutely. I've watched people lose their shirts. You know, they bought Bitcoin at 18,000 or 17,000 thinking it was going up to 25, and it's sitting at 8.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's just, you know, that's just one, you know, that's just one type of thing. But, you know, there's a million, you know, opportunities. There's also people I know that have bought Bitcoin at $200 and sold it at 15,000. So, you know, but it's a matter of understanding what's your risk tolerance.
It is. It's understanding what your risk tolerance is, what your position is in terms of responsibilities. If you know, yeah. if you're a man or woman that has a mortgage payment, a couple kids in elementary school or high school that are getting ready for college, you know, speculating in an asset like Bitcoin may not be something that's appropriate.
Exactly.
You know, so it all really depends. You know, with financial services and personal finance, there's no real cookie cutter approach because at the end of the day, everybody is different. Their right. goals are different. Their objectives are different. What is common amongst every individual is human emotions, and human yes, nature sure. doesn't generally change that much. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I do is trying to get fear and greed to be minimized as much as possible and to try to act rationally and right. to, you know, when markets are not doing well, look at it as a buying opportunity. And if you've done really well, the market keeps going, maybe it's time to take a little bit off the table. Right. So, you know, that's where I really think my value comes in. And, yep. And that's why it's an ongoing process. It never ends. So.
Well, it's the word you use, concierge. You know, it's that specialized service. It's not, you don't want to be the advisor to everybody. You know, you have a very specific audience, and you know, we can get into that exactly who, you know, the type of people that you're looking for, and you've given some specifications of that. But it's understanding that there is a certain mentality and a certain risk tolerance and a certain, you know, philosophy probably amongst most of your clients. You know, and they mirror a lot of the thought process and attitudes and ideas that you have. So it's a matter of understanding that you're not going to be able to solve everybody's problems. You're not going to be able to serve everybody, but it's sitting there going, okay, who are the people that I can serve and who can I be that concierge service to that I'm going to be able to provide value to? So who are those people? Like what, you know,
yeah.
specifically, what are the people you're looking for?
So generally, you know, we work with people that are 40 years of age
right.
or above. They're business owners or incorporated yep. professionals.
Yeah.
You know, generally they have a couple kids, and those kids could be, you know, anywhere from, you know, very young to they might have grandkids in some cases if we're dealing with clients, say 60 sure. plus. And they have, you know, what I refer to as good money problems. So, okay. you know, so they have,
and is there a ceiling or a
yeah. So what happens is, at you know, when I'm sitting down with a business owner, I'll always tell them that, you know, your best investment probably is going to be your own business, right? Because
right.
it's what you know, it's what you understand. You have a competitive edge, mm-hmm. And you live it, you breathe it, you feel it every day, right?
Of course.
So, you know, invest back in your own business, not only your time and your energy, but some of your capital to grow your business.
Right.
You'll get to the point though in your business where eventually you're going to have a spillover effect, or yeah. you're going to want to wind things down a little, or you're going to maybe, you know, if you're doing really well, you might have a management team that is taking a lot of, you know, the work that is required off your plate.
Sure.
And you're going to, at that point, start looking for other types of investments and diversifying.
Mm-hmm.
And we really work with clients where they have some fixed income corporate investments.
Okay.
So, you know, we deal with a lot of clients where, you know, they'll have $1-3 million plus in a GIC, in a money market fund, in a federal
gotcha.
Bond. And, you know, the question usually is, you know, why would you have money in an income bearing investment when you're earning the 1.13% or whatever it is?
Because I want to have it liquid if I need it. That's usually the reason.
That's right. And the other reason is that, you know, absolutely liquidity is really important to these people. And the other thing is that, you know, they have their risk in their main business, their operating company, in their holding company or these GIC investments. They don't want the risk.
Right.
They want something that's guaranteed.
Yep.
And when this happens, this is when that 50% tax up here in Canada gets triggered and a lot of other challenges.
Yeah.
And that's really our sweet spot, where we can go in with a specific problem for a specific company and really create, you know, a lot of value.
Nice.
And when we do that, you know, you mentioned other, you know, the concierge type services. We can't do everything, but there's other advisory professionals that come to the table for this type
sure.
of planning.
Absolutely.
And And part of our value is, you know, if a client doesn't already have key relationships in those areas,
yeah.
is we will bring people in the marketplace that we work with, and we have a number of them in every yeah. you know, in every area, that we know are the highest level professionals and advisors that add value, that can actually help advise the client. You know, in most cases, we want the client to have their own teams in place because
yeah,
they already know the individuals. But yeah, to answer your question, so we're dealing with people that, you know, usually have at least, you know, $250,000 sitting in retained earnings,
yeah.
holding company, earning interest income. And
right.
And we will look at, you know, different corporate structures and different plans that can help take money out of, or alleviate that tax problem, take money out of their company, all the while ensuring that they still have, you know, liquidity.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's generally the sandbox that we play in.
Perfect. So let me ask you one last question, then I'm going to let you go.
Sure.
You know, when you walk out of a meeting, when you get in the car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you and your company when you're not in the room?
I would love for people, when I leave, to think, wow, that was a lot of value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the time that I just spent was a good use of my time, and I just had a great experience. I can see Jamal and his team basically working on my behalf as part of my larger team to help create value and help achieve the long-term goals that I have. If we have clients or we have meetings with, you know, prospective clients, and they can just say to themselves, wow, that was of value and that was a good use of my time, I will feel like I have done something right, because, you know,
going back
to the amount of information that is bombarded with us on a daily basis now, you know, it's tough for a lot of people to say, well, that was of value, that I got something out of this.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and you know, the best feeling I get is when I am driving home and a couple of days later, I get a thank you email from a client mm-hmm. and they write a paragraph about how well the meeting went. And, you know, and whether or not we end up doing anything for them, that's totally irrelevant, right? It's the long-term relationships.
Absolutely.
And long-term relationships are really built on, did we do something to create value and benefit, even if it's just information that maybe they'll use in 5 years.
That's great. Jamal, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the show today. I value the time that we spend together. I think you provide so much information, and I really appreciate it. So hang out in the green room. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
Sounds great, Ben. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. You know, I hope you got real value of what Jamal said, and I think that there were some key nuggets for us to take away from this. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, what do? I help people tell their story. I want to be the consultant of your brand. I want to tell the story of your brand. I want to provide you with ability to do workshops. I want to do keynotes for your audiences to tell your story in your way, to be able to help you add value to your clientele. Now, when I'm not here and I'm on this show every Wednesday, we're going to be interviewing another company. And I, you know, hope you come with us next week to find out who's the next person on the Your Living Brand.live show. Until then, we'll see you at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, Pacific time. Have a great week.